Welcome to the Thrivepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Althea Caldwell, the Thrivepreneur Coach. And in today's episode, we're going to continue the conversation about our finances. Today, we're going to be talking about how you can thrive in entrepreneurship through some really key financial strategies that we're going to listen to and participate in today. And we're going to get deep into how you can master money. I'm so excited because today's conversation, I have a guest with me today, and her name is Alex C. Davis. And Alex is one of less than 0.5% of Black women nationwide who hold the CPA and the CFP, which is Certified Financial Planner certification. Welcome, Alex, to the Thrivepreneur Podcast.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Althea, I love what you are doing here. It's so needed, so necessary.
Yeah. Sometimes entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, but it doesn't have to be.
Correct. It can be very lonely. So yeah, don't let it be that way.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing here at the Thrivepreneur Podcast. And we have something called the Thrivepreneur Tribe. So it's a community of like-minded women who want to thrive in entrepreneurship. So what we're doing through the podcast is providing women with all of the things that they need to thrive in entrepreneurship. And I'm so excited that you're here today to provide us with a perspective from the financial standpoint. I am so excited to dig into just all the gems and the expertise that you would offer us today. So let's start and kick this conversation. When you're looking for someone to help you in these different areas around your business, then looking for someone that have gone through the process of proving themselves and who have these certifications may be a good place to start, because I know that there is a lot of people out there that I think they call them tax preparers, or, you know, there's so many different names. So, and sometimes, you know, I see people getting caught up with these people and they're in a worse situation than when, you know, when they first started.
100%. And a lot of it comes from lack of knowledge. But then I also say, work with people who have something to lose. I hate to say it like that, but when you have someone, and just for reference, in order to be a tax preparer, you literally have to spend $17 to get a PIN number to be able to actually file tax returns. There's no, which is crazy to think about it, but there's actually no exam that you're necessarily required to take, no continuing education that you need to take. Someone can literally get their PIN number and then sign up and say, I prepare taxes. And then you're entrusting your business with that? I don't think so. So working with someone certified and understanding your field is essential.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. I have over 20 years I've been in insurance and financial services. And I, you know, when I would meet with clients, we would have a full conversation. So I was talking to my clients about, you know, do you have a will in place? And I, you know, I appreciated when I could partner with their financial planner in making sure that their assets were covered. And if they, you know, if they came to me and said, hey, I want to look at my liability coverage, I knew that they had a good financial planner.
Yes, exactly.
Average person is not going to say, hey, I want to make sure, you know, because people, you know, when you think about auto insurance, homeowner insurance, and even life insurance, a lot of times people get these products and, you know, they're just getting them because they have to have them. Because, you know, either the state says it or whatever, but what they don't realize, it's really about protecting your assets. And so that's, the perspective that I always came from. And so I really appreciate knowing that there are people out there that are, you know, skilled and have, you know, gone through the trenches and, you know, have accountability, you know? And so I can appreciate that. So don't be out here just doing your taxes, Keisha. Sorry, Keisha, if there's any Keishas out there, but yeah. So make sure that you, especially if you mentioned earlier, work with someone that has something to lose. And so, you know, you also have something to lose. So you want to make sure that you're looking for those credentials. financial strategies. A lot of my clients are new entrepreneurs, women who have, like yourself, gone from employee to entrepreneur. That's something that I've also done, so I understand how interesting that transition can be. And so let's talk about, for new entrepreneurs, what are some financial strategies that you, as a CPA and a CFP, would recommend? Because I know a lot of people think about the tax part of it. Well, let me even back up. Not a lot of people think about it, but for the ones who do, they may not think about the financial planning piece of it. As a coach, one of the things that I do with my clients is we talk about the longevity of the business. We're not just getting the business started. We're talking about, if something were to ever happen, how can you transition out of the business where it doesn't impact your family?
Yes. Oh, I love that. And that's the holistic approach, which is also how I work with my clients. And so I always tell people before we even get to the strategy, I have a holistic money mastery approach that I take with my clients. And before we even start looking at these strategies, looking at you as an individual and what are some mindset blocks? Like, how do you actually think about money? How do you think about your business? What are some of your beliefs around that? And I like to start there because that's going to actually help and support me in informing what type of strategies or where can the focus be. And so I guess the first strategy is sitting down and taking inventory of how you feel about yourself, your business, and money, and just becoming aware of some of those thoughts and beliefs. I think that strategy, starting there often, when you start to get the strategies that's in place, instead of knowing the strategy and not doing it, because we've addressed some of the mindset blocks, as some would call it, it actually allows you to execute on the strategy because it's cool to know a strategy, but if you're not going to do anything with it, what's the point in my book? And so that's one area. And then the second strategy that we can, and I know you may have more follow-up questions, is it's actually knowing your numbers. I think the first, before we even get into more strategies, is actually look at your numbers. And so whether that looks like taking time, I like to do it once a month. I call it like a money date night. Sit down, allow yourself to, and for if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, money scares me, money stresses out, looking at my numbers, just start with taking a deep breath. It's just simple as taking some deep breaths and just really getting calm and getting a little bit more regulated and look at it as this is just data. This does not say or mean anything about me. I'm just looking at numbers. And when you can take that moment and commit to at least once a month, if you're someone who doesn't really look at your numbers all the time, and just see what money came in and what money went out. You can just start there and having a basic understanding.
A scripture that I like to think about, especially when we're considering going into entrepreneurship, I like to say that entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart.
Not at all, not at
it is
all.
not. I know a lot of people consider it, but I feel like entrepreneurship is the great revealer. It will tell you who you really are, When you don't have someone, that's watching over you, you have to make sure that you manage your own time and manage it effectively, and you're making sure that, what you're doing is actually activities that produce income. All of those things. I really feel like entrepreneurship is a great revealer. I want to mention a scripture in Luke 14, 28. It says, suppose one of you want to build a tower, won't you first sit down and establish the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it?
Ooh.
So yes, and this verse,
Yes.
yes, it's so relevant, I feel. This verse, it highlights the importance of planning and preparation in business, and especially
Yes.
in our financial planning. What do you have to say about that? What are your thoughts?
You have to. It is It is essential, especially when you're transitioning out from employee to employer, where everything basically is typically handed to you. Like you, they've created the structure, but going into your business, you have to create this structure. And if you don't know what's required to create it, how do you build it? It's like you get in your car and you're going somewhere where you've never been. You have to give it an address, and then you need directions. You can't just get in and be like, okay, take me there. No, you need directions. And so understanding what's required financially, what's required even within yourself, when you said is the entrepreneurship is a great revealer, that cannot be like that is spot on, because any cracks in your personal foundation and your financial foundation, they will show up in entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. A saying I always say is, as long as I've been coaching, I would tell people that a business problem is a well-disguised personal problem.
Yes. Ha, come on now, you're preaching today.
And so it's, I mean, even though your business is an entity, and that's a whole different conversation for a whole nother day, and making sure that it is set up properly. Even though it's separate from you, you kind of are the business too. So you can't take you away from the business. So if the business is having problems, then you gotta look in the
You really do. And that can be a challenge, especially when you're building a business, you're doing something new, you're and then oftentimes, and depending on where you're at when you start your business, but a lot of us, we transition and we're solopreneurs. And so we're building and doing a lot of things by ourselves. And that in itself is stressful. When you are the salesperson, the marketer, the
Marketer.
administrator, you're all those things. And that's why it's important to understand your money and actually build, if you can prepare for it to where you've built a foundation where you can have support built in already.
Exactly.
Knowing your numbers so you can have that, because it's very challenging to wear eight different hats and do them all well. And if you're able to see, okay, what part of the business am I required to do? And I think, and you mentioned it earlier, where is it moving forward and actually generating income? Those typically are where you want to spend your time. And then when there are other areas that you can pass off, and whether it's sending emails, that administrative work, but those operationals. So often, because our operation foundation is off, it's impacting how much money we're able to generate. It's impacting our stress levels. That's, guess what? Impacting how much money
Money
we
you
are
make.
generating. Impacting our families. And the worst thing that we can do is leave a job, especially if we left because we're burnt out or we're not fulfilled, and then build a business that's the exact same way. And when you actually start looking at the money, you're like, wait a minute, I was making more and less stress when I was working for someone. But it doesn't have to be that way when you properly prepare.
I mean, man, this is a conversation I could probably have all day with you, because I am such a strong proponent. Like, as a coach, when I first started coaching, my clients were already making seven figures. So, I think if I were to look at how, like, the makeup of my clientele, 98% of them have four or more employees. So these are people
See?
that are doing business. I call it real business. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I have a very small percentage of people that are solopreneurs, but I do notice the difference in the mindset. But I've been trained as a coach, and through just working with people that are already affluent, and so that's
Yeah.
where my mind goes first. And
Yeah.
sometimes when I work with solopreneurs, I'll tell them, there's a whole different world out there, and some of the things that you're thinking about don't even exist in this other world. So let's get you
Right.
thinking, this other way. And so that's one of the reasons why, as an executive coach, I started working not only on business strategies, but mindset mastery. But also,
Yes.
I noticed too, for our women, teaching them how to be emotional resilient, because entrepreneurship comes with the ups and the downs. And you have to be able to push past them, push forward, and bounce. I call it bouncing forward after any kind of setback. Talk a little bit about your transition. I know you said you was burnt out in corporate,
Yes.
working, as a public accountant. Tell us, I think you said you stayed in that position or doing that kind of work in corporate for 10 years and then you transitioned. Was it a cold turkey transition? Did you prepare? If so, tell us how.
Yes, no, I definitely prepared. I'm a Virgo, and so I'm very much a planner and I like to prepare. And so my transition was about a year long. And so once I finally, now granted, 4 years into public accounting, I knew it was not for me, but I kept staying, being wanting to manage other people's feelings and all that, and not always doing what was best for me. And so finally, when I realized, nope, I'm not doing this again, I set a date. I wrote my resignation letter. I set my target date. And then I started planning with that date in mind. And so for me, it was important to pay off my debt. I wanted to get into entrepreneurship debt free because other than my mortgage, so that way I didn't have that added stress on myself. And then I also made sure that I had saved at least 6 months worth of expenses. I felt like 6 months of my total expenses. And so part of that planning was I understood what did it take for me to thrive and live for 6 months. If I didn't make a dollar, what would that look like? And so I planned that part, paid off the debt, and then I started building my clientele for the type of business that I wanted. And I essentially, when I first started my business, I started just a tax and tax planning, tax preparation, tax planning firm. I was like, well, this is what I know, this is what I've been doing, and I'm pretty good at it. Let me do that. And so for the first year, that was fine. And then I realized I just built something that I don't want. And that's when things got a little tricky for me. And so and that's when I also realized a lot of my mindset was just not in a place where it really needed to be for me to actually see long-term success and me feel good about it. Because it's one thing to be feel successful in your business. It's another thing to actually feel like, oh, I'm proud of this. I'm fulfilled. And I genuinely believe that you can be both.
As you said something interesting, you said, you made the transition and you built your business and realized, I don't even want this. I don't, this is not what I want. And it's important for entrepreneurs to realize too and to know that maybe what you started out doing may not be what you end up doing. Because I can even speak for myself, as a coach, when I first start coaching, I didn't, well, I was coaching before I was credentialed. So my story is a little bit different. I was doing business coaching for a Fortune 50 company for about 8 years before I became credentialed. So I went back and got credentialed. I went back to school, got my master's, got my certification as an executive coach. And that opened a door for me to then start working with C-suite executives. And so that's when I started my firm. And I like to call it a hybrid. So I was still working in corporate America and I was doing my firm, but it gave me an opportunity to kind of, see what it was like to work with entrepreneurs, but also work with the highest level of leadership and see which one I like the best. So for
Oh, I
years,
love
I
that.
did both. And so I got a chance to do that. And then just recently, maybe in the last 2, 3 years, because I noticed the needs of our women. Specifically of the women in entrepreneurship, I decided to hone in and focus on them. So you can see, I've been coaching for over 17 years. And so over those 17 years, I've had a chance to kind of coach this, this segment of people versus that segment. I mean, the commonality is that everyone was in leadership, But
Yes.
working with our women, so But yeah, one of the things that I think too, did you have any concerns? Because it sounds like you said you're a planner, so you planned financially for that transition. I see that that is one of the biggest things when women, especially if they have done well in their careers and they have built up their income, they want to be able to transition to a similar income.
Yes.
And I always hear things around, like the benefits, which is something that we address in my coaching program. Because I have the background in insurance and financial
Yes.
services and own my own agency, I've, been able to handle that for people, help entrepreneurs understand how they can also have like 401ks and things like that as an entrepreneur, life insurance and things like that. So that's a conversation that I'm able to have. with, women as they're like, okay, this is what my concern is. But I appreciate, like, from your perspective, saying, hey, we need to make sure that the money is in line. So I have a great appreciation for that, because when I'm planning for a business, we're planning for the business to succeed. My
Correct.
thing is, why survive if you can thrive,
Correct. And there are just certain components to having that. And I think, and being aware you don't know what you don't know. And so, whether
Exactly.
you're starting out and you are making $50,000 as an entrepreneur, or you're making six, seven figures as an entrepreneur, there are still things that you just don't know unless you've been through it or you've educated yourself on it. And the interesting thing, and why I love being a financial planner, is we look at all like the full picture of things. And just in one area, you may say, oh, this is a decision, but it may impact other areas in a negative way. And so you have to be able to look at everything. And that's another reason why a lot of my clients benefit from working with me, is because I do take that holistic approach. Like, yes, I can look at the tax side of it, but I can have the discussion about retirement planning, high level investment, but then also estate planning, because that's an area that often gets missed. And it's like, if we're building a legacy, you want to also protect that legacy. It's not just about growing. How are you also then protecting it? And it does require just that support, I think, sometimes is what gets missed, is being able to have someone in your corner that understands you and can advise you in a very personalized manner and give that support. And my experience with working with women, and the reason I've transitioned my practice into primarily working with women entrepreneurs, is because when I first started, I was taking anybody that would pay me. And then through my own journey, I realized, well, no, that one, that doesn't feel good. Two, I'm not meant to serve everyone. And three, I know my particular issues and what I've seen daily with a particular group of women, and it lights me up to support them, and I can support them better than anyone I know because of my background. And so I've leaned into that, because yes, it is about the money, but I think before I can even have a lot of my clients execute on this strategy, there are just other areas that I've become aware of that we have to work through and have to talk about. I know one area, and I hate to sound so woo-woo, but regulating your nervous system, because sometimes we are so stressed. And when you talk about having that higher income and then transitioning into a business, that, man, what if you have one bad month? If you are not, like you said, emotionally resilient, that can cause you to crumble. And you could let one bad month take you off and knock you off your game for building a multi-million dollar business, because the resiliency wasn't in there for one month. I see it often where someone has one month, or it didn't go as planned, or something didn't work out. And instead of pivoting or figuring out, okay, how can we move past this? It's like, oh, I have to go back to work. And so for some people, that's absolutely the answer. But for others, it's what does regulating your nervous system, like, whether that's breathe, doing breath work, calming, getting a therapist. A lot of my women, we don't need another business coach. We need a therapist to work through some of the trauma and things of that nature. But it's like, instead of going right back there, what would it look like to actually plan and pivot? And so, I have no idea where I was going with that, but that was on my heart to say, so I went with it. But I just feel like, as women, we have to be mindful of that.
Agreed. I do agree. And I'm a trauma-informed coach, so I'm certified in trauma-informed counseling. And so that's something that my clients get as part of it. And I
Yeah.
agree. As even as an executive coach, I've trained to be able to, decipher between personality disorders and if the person was healthy enough to work with me, or if they needed to work with a counselor and I could refer them out. So
I
I
love that.
wholeheartedly agree, but I am just so thankful that, it sounds like you and I are both coming from the same perspective of taking care of the whole woman, and I really
Yes.
appreciate that, because some people are out there, they'll just take your money. They'll just take your money, and you won't be any better off than you was before. I want to
Correct.
reference another scripture. We've been talking a lot about planning and just being prepared for the opportunity. And it makes me think of Proverbs 21 and 5, where it says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." So just
Oh,
making sure that we are, this scripture, I feel like encourages us to be careful in our planning and to be diligent in our financial matters so that we can achieve the kind of success that we want to. Audiences.
oh, yes. I think first is really get clear on your vision. So sometimes go back and revisit what is it that you actually want your business to look like? Where are you currently at? And really take inventory, being compassionate and honest with yourself. And then if you can start identifying where are the gaps, because that's because you basically want to know where you are and where are you wanting to get. So that way you can start creating a strategic plan to get you where you want to be. So first one is look at your vision. The next thing is really understand your numbers. Understand what your numbers currently are. Understand what your desired numbers are, what you would like them to be. So again, you can start bridging the gap and monitor it. It's so important that you actually track your numbers. And then I would say, look at your numbers in two ways. Look at your ideal numbers, but also look at what do you actually need? Because sometimes we are dysregulated and worried about money because we're trying to get back to what our salary was in corporate, which is great, but you're operating and making decisions to hastily get to that desired number when that may not be what you need. And so that's why it's really important to very much get clear on what are your expenses, what do you actually need to be feel stable? And then what do you actually need to really feel like your most freedom, most desired self? And then lastly, get support in areas where you need it. And so whether that's hiring the accountant, whether that's hiring the assistant that can actually support you in getting things finalized and done so you can generate the income that you know that you need, whether it's a coach, a mentor, taking inventory of what do you actually need. And this last thing I will say about an accountant, all accountants, all tax preparers are not created equally. I'm someone, I'm looking at your whole picture. I strategize and I'm actually supporting you. How do we not pay Uncle Sam more money than we need to? They mess up their money. We don't need them messing up yours, but we want to make sure that there's someone who is actually helping you plan. And so a sign that they're not helping you plan, if you only talk to your tax professional one time a year, they're not helping you plan. If they're not open to educate you on certain things, they're rushing you, they're not that planning person, and you should evaluate that relationship.
Man, like I said earlier, I probably could have this conversation with you all day. So we probably have to have you back on the show because we've discussed so many valuable insights today. And I just, from how to manage, you talked about even like personal and business finances and just the mindset shift that needs to happen. There you have it. Today's episode on the Thrivepreneur podcast. If you heard some things that resonated with you today, I want to invite you to become a member of the Thrivepreneur tribe. If you're not already a member, this is a community of like-minded women where we share resources, community, and we support each other so that we can all thrive in entrepreneurship. If you're looking for more personalized coaching and support, then you can reach out to me on my website, www.reframeitstrategy.com, and look into my She Thrive Mastery 8-week coaching program, a holistic approach to help you not only start your business, but plan for longevity so that you can thrive as an entrepreneur. Alex, thank you once again. We have to really plan for us to do this again. This was a great conversation. Yes,
I would love to. I would love to. But we're staying connected. You don't worry.
All right. Have a great one.
Thank you. Bye.